Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. Sam Shedd has the week off. I'm Samantha Stone. Today I'll be talking with Mark Hutchison. He's the lead special counsel for Nevada, joining Florida and a lot of other states in a constitutional challenge to the federal health care reform. And a great Power Pundit panel. It's all here on Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The resort at Red Hawk. The Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
How much lower can we go when Nevada schools rank last in the nation? And Brian Sandoval cuts education by hundreds of millions more. What opportunities will we be denied when Sandoval's cuts force layoffs of one in five teachers? How overcrowded will our classrooms become when Sandoval raids the fund set aside for class size reduction? How can Nevada build a stronger economy if Brian Sandoval gets his way? Just ask yourself.
Hello, I'm Lance Gilman. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. Economic prosperity for Nevada. We are TRI.
Retailers, businesses where all of us shop. Good for you and good for Nevada. We're the Retail Association of Nevada, working to strengthen the business environment for Nevada retailers. And that's good for you. Retailers create nearly half a million jobs for Nevadans, generated over $2 billion just in sales tax revenues in 1 year, provided nearly $700 million to help our schools, and built a $20 billion positive impact on our state's economy. Retail works for Nevada and works for you.
Championship courses and life's distractions fading away.
Join the area's best locals program, the Talon Club at Red Hawk.
This interview segment is sponsored by the Nevada Motor Transport Association. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
This is Nevada Newsmaker. Sam Shad is on vacation. I'm Samantha Stone. Co-host today, Scott Craigie from All Risk Consulting. And we have with us Mark Hutchison. He's the lead counsel for the state of Nevada in the legal challenge to Governor Gibbons' lawsuit against federal health care reform.
Hi.
Good morning, Mr. Hutchison.
Good morning.
You show up the Monday after a very contentious weekend. The entire political focus this weekend was on this New York Times article, "Changing Stance, Administration Now Defends Health Insurance Mandate as a Tax."
Right.
Of course, they have asserted in the past that it's not a tax. And in fact, the original assertion, repeated assertion, was that it is an exercise of the Commerce Clause.
That's right.
Is this shift in emphasis a sign that the shift might be working in your direction toward a victory in this case?
Well, we think it is an interesting shift in emphasis. This has been a minor position that the federal government has taken throughout litigation. You may recall that, of course, the federal government and President Obama and Speaker Pelosi said that the Commerce Clause clearly gave the Congress the power to do what they did under the legislation. And now, when I think the legal challenge is facing the administration and the Department of Justice in particular, they're now looking to shift some emphasis to the taxing power, which is broader and is easier to justify. So I think that it certainly is a shift in emphasis. It certainly speaks to those who thought that the health care litigation was frivolous. We were told by many that this didn't have a chance, that of course the Commerce Clause would carry the day, and apparently it may not.
And, of course, this is far from a slam dunk in any case.
Absolutely. Right. It's going to be tested in the courts, and we'll wait to see what happens.
Actually, this is a very tough set of roads that we're going to go down. And one of the big questions that I have, and I have a couple that are on, kind of in this area, but what's the overall cost going to be to taxpayers, to our entire system? That'd be a good starting point, I think.
Yeah, and I think, Scott, it depends on where the focus is. If you're looking at a national, the latest report suggests that although this legislation was supposed to be spending neutral or maybe even save some money, I think the latest reports that I've seen show about $250 billion, about $250 billion is what the total national cost is. The governor's office in the state of Nevada has said that to fund this legislation will cost about $1.8 million. The state of Nevada will incur about $600 million, excuse me, in costs.
Mm-hmm. There's a situation that comes into play here. Under what authority can the governor go outside of the attorney general and hire special counsel, which is apparently what may happen here? And so what are the ramifications of that as we go forward?
The governor asked the attorney general to initiate the lawsuit, and she refused to do so for a variety of reasons. So the governor then decided that he would appoint special counsel, and he felt that he could do so because the statutes require the attorney general to file a lawsuit whenever the governor directs. She decided not to do that, and then the statute says that the attorney general is the chief legal officer for the executive branch for those matters arising within the state. The legislation did not arise within the state; it arose within Congress, and the legislation is enacted outside of the state of Nevada. And in fact, the litigation is commencing outside of Nevada; it's proceeding in Florida.
And there are, in fact, 20 states is the number cited joining this. If you look at the claims of the states in the final complaint here, the amended final complaint, there's a huge emphasis on Medicaid, on cost, on the burden to the states, the burden the states claim if they have to implement this. Florida's is the one that's outlined. I assume that's because they're the lead plaintiff.
Right.
This has drawn the attention to another question, according to some of the legal analysts. Is optional really optional when the states are voluntary participants in Medicaid? Are they truly voluntary participants?
Yeah. And Samantha, that's the basis for the Ninth and Tenth Amendment challenge to the legislation. The argument is that we have gone from a Medicaid program that was a federal-state partnership that was largely voluntary, as you state, to a mandated national health care regime and regiment that is required by the federal government. So there's a real challenge to the state sovereignty ideas, to federalism under the Constitution. The states are saying, you can't force this down our throats. We are a sovereign government entity, and this kind of legislation encroaches upon the 10th Amendment.
Now, there are 20 states. There are also some individuals and an association listed as plaintiffs. Have you actually gotten in the same room with these 20 or more other attorneys? How many attorneys are involved?
Right.
What does it sound like and look like when you all get in the same room, or have you?
We haven't all been in the same room. We are every week on a conference call together when all of the attorney generals and governor representatives get together. We talk strategy. We talk about where we are in the case. And it is a lively debate. I can tell you that oftentimes there are states that certainly have put a lot of emphasis on various areas, and as you can imagine, with 20 lawyers involved in any kind of a situation, it's an active group.
All right, we will resume this conversation momentarily. We're talking with Mark Hutchison, lead counsel for the state of Nevada in the legal challenge to federal health care reform. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Senior homeowners have been feeling anxious about money lately. The good news is that you can do something about it now with Home Equity Relief. Stop the worry and stay in your home. Find out how much money you can receive every month with a reverse mortgage.
I'm just one of 500,000 seniors that sleeps better at night.
It's true. A government-backed reverse mortgage stops the concern about money and keeps you self-reliant.
After Phil died, my home equity release covered missing Social Security payments and kept me safely in our house. Maybe you should re-examine this government-insured program, too.
Be smart enough to look for yourself. Receive our new information kit when you qualify. Only Comfortable Retirement offers home equity release, the new reverse mortgage program designed for active seniors.
Lock in the cash value of your biggest asset and maintain your independence.
After all your hard work, you're entitled to a comfortable retirement and never having a mortgage payment again.
So, who do you use for workers' comp?
Pro Group Management.
Oh, I've heard some good things about them.
You bet. Employee background check, safety training, claim seminars. Oh, here's the great part. If you have an issue, they work for you, not against you.
Well, sounds perfect. And expensive.
Well, that's the best part. They saved me 25%, and I've heard they saved more for others.
Works for me.
Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
All systems check. All right, Sam, let's go check out some D&D roof.
Hey, Ken. From up here, you can really tell the difference a quality D&D roof makes.
You're right, Sam. With our experience, knowledge, and staff, nothing compares to a D&D roof.
Hey, look down there. It's our D&D roofing crew.
I'll bank the plane. Let's get a closer look. Sam! You watch your company's bottom line, and I'll cover the top of it.
This interview segment is sponsored by the Nevada Motor Transport Association. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
Welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. Sam Shad on vacation this week. I'm Samantha Stone with Scott Craigie from Allris Consulting. And it's called the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. You know it as federal health care reform. We're having a conversation this morning with the gentleman who is working for Governor Gibbons. He's the lead attorney for the state of Nevada on the challenge to that health care reform act. Besides the 20 states that have signed on to this challenge.
Yes.
You have a couple of individuals and a business association. Was this strategic to include individuals, and perhaps talk to us a little about who those individuals are?
Sure. It was a situation where the states felt very confident in what we were doing, and we wanted to have an opportunity to broaden our particular emphasis from a state level to an individual and a business level. And so the National Federation of Independent Businesses joined the lawsuit. They are the largest association of small businesses in the country, and many of their members are opposed to being forced to comply with the mandates, the individual mandates requiring the purchase of health insurance. So that organization joined the lawsuit, as did two others that were representative of those business owners.
So I'm curious to know how these different groups are going to, I guess, you know, intertwine.
Sure.
with what those activities are, because in many cases you're making a legal argument.
Yes.
That goes forward on behalf of a certain, you know, number of people.
That's right.
As you expand, you know, how do you keep these separate? Do you keep them separate?
Actually, the judge has done a good job keeping them separate. Judge Vinson is the judge in Florida who's handling the case. And there, as you can imagine, there have been lots of individuals, lots of groups who have wanted to become involved, filed different briefs with the court. And the court has pretty much said, we're going to keep this to the states. We're going to keep it to the National Independent, the National Federation of Independent Businesses and the individuals who are involved in the complaint itself. And so the judge has kept those separate. The ruling that the judge will hand down will impact all the states, it'll impact all individuals, it'll impact all businesses that are subject to this legislation.
If you took a moment and just stepped back and took a look at the whole picture, what areas do you need to have the most success? What areas can you shed?
Okay. I think that probably, Scott, the most important area that we are focusing on is the individual mandate. The mandate under the legislation that requires every citizen and legal resident of the United States to purchase health insurance from a qualified plan that is heavily regulated by the government. That is unprecedented. It's never happened before in this country where somebody has to purchase a product or engage in commerce or buy a business product in order to maintain their standing as a good citizen of this country. And that will be the prime factor. Now, we can shed other arguments. We can shed the other arguments concerning the 10th Amendment, or we can shed the other arguments concerning a direct capitated tax, but I think that's the one that's going to be the most powerful.
Oh, my God, you said direct capitated tax. Now I'm forced to ask you to explain that. Can you give us the doggy, kitty, bunny, birdie version, please?
Sure, sure. The emphasis now by the Department of Justice is this is a tax. Under the Constitution, if it's not an income tax, which was authorized by the 16th Amendment, it's called a cap, and it's a tax on individuals. It's called a capitation tax. And if that's the case, it's got to be proportionate throughout the states based on population. In other words, if a state has 5% of the population in this country, it's got to pay 5% of the tax. Well, that's not what this legislation does. Of course, it exempts many people based on their income levels and other things. And so it's going to be very difficult, we think, for the government to justify this as a tax under the capitation tax requirement of the Constitution.
You had to say it. All right, there is a bill request in our Legislative Council Bureau right now submitted by our senior senator, Senator Raggio. It's for a joint Senate joint resolution that, and of course I haven't read it because you can't read these right. things yet, did a little research. It seems to be something that is coming up in many states, a resolution saying we don't want this, we will not subject our citizens, you cannot compel our citizens to participate in this.
Right.
30 states, I believe, was the number. It has no force of law as a resolution. Do you have any comment on what the purpose of a resolution might be?
Well, what I think is happening, Samantha, is that the states are voicing their objection unitedly, with as many states joining as possible, to the federal government's unprecedented expansion of powers. And if you get to 36 states, you can amend the Constitution. So I think it's a warning signal being shot across the bow saying, if you continue in this direction as the states, we can amend the Constitution, and we may very well do that.
All right, you have many, many steps between here and the Supreme Court, if indeed you get there at all. But
yes.
As we speak today, Elena Kagan is a Supreme Court nominee. She was the Solicitor General. She certainly was part of the White House legal staff as they anticipated a legal challenge to this law. Should Elena Kagan, if she gets there, and if you get there,
right,
recuse herself?
That's a great question. I would argue that any lawyer who has been involved in the process of advocating for the passage of a law and then would be asked to sit on the constitutionality of that law should recuse himself or herself.
All right, thanks so much for joining us. It's Mark Hutchison. He's the lead counsel for the state of Nevada in the legal challenge to the Patient Protection and Affordable Health Care Act. Hope you'll come back.
Thank you, Samantha. I will.
And we will be back on Nevada Newsmakers momentarily.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
I'm Harry Reid, and I approve this message.
City Center was in trouble. It was so dire, the company had purchased fencing to shutter the project. Then, Harry Reid called the banks, and they made their loans. Reid saved 22,000 jobs, but Sharon Angle wouldn't have saved City Center.
Would you have saved City Center?
No, I would not.
22,000 jobs, and she wouldn't have lifted a finger.
As your U.S. Senator, I'm not in the business of creating jobs.
Sharon Angle's just too extreme.
On the next Face-to-Face, the oil leak in the Gulf is an unprecedented disaster, already costing billions of dollars. But the real cost may be unknown in terms of damage to the environment and the livelihood of Gulf residents. We'll hear from some of them next Face-to-Face.
What do you think of Sharon Angle's ideas?
As your U.S. Senator, I'm not in the business of creating jobs.
No, really?
That's not her job.
If that's the case, whose job is it?
What is she doing for the people?
I know so many people, they're unemployed.
I don't know what she thinks her job is.
Doesn't make sense.
Everybody that's a politician in our state should help with getting people jobs.
That's not my job as a U.S. Senator, to bring industry to this state.
Sharon Angle's ideas are bad ideas.
At Evergreen Carpet Care, when we say we live with your carpets, it means our service continues even after we've left the job. Because to us,
Marty,
people care
point.
Is every bit as important. So we're constantly striving to offer the best possible customer service in the business.
For example, we do something that no one else does. We'll give you a follow-up call to make sure your job was done perfectly. And I mean perfectly. If not, we'll make it right. We promise.
For the ultimate in carpet cleaning and more, it's forever evergreen.
I was never shown any papers of repossession.
This Rego man wasn't leaving without a fight.
She pulled me literally off the pedals.
She thought you were stealing her car.
Judge Judy.
This segment is brought to you by the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cures. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
We're back on Nevada Newsmakers. I'm Samantha Stone, sitting in for Sam Shad. Got a great power pundit panel with me today. John Sandy, attorney from Jones Vargas. Dory Guy, vice chair, Washoe County Democratic Party. And we threw somebody new into the mix, Marsha Burke Bigler, partner at Nevada Business Strategies. Welcome all.
Thank you.
And the Nevada news was dominated this weekend, of course, by the sad and sudden passing of former Governor Gwynn. Now, I know that you had a lot of interaction with Governor Gwynn. Your thoughts?
It's a great loss for the state of Nevada. He was a wonderful man, very true, concerned about the state, very involved with just the common man. He was a unique politician in that he wasn't a politician. He was somebody who really cared about Nevada.
John.
Yeah, it's just a tragedy for our state. Governor Gwynn was one of a kind, and I listened to all the people talk about him and his life, and it was really impressive. And I don't know that I could add a whole lot to that, other than to say that as I was watching the news and listening to Billy Vassiliadis and others talk about what a great man he was, and reading the newspapers on Saturday and Sunday, I couldn't help but think for me and myself, and I would hope that people would talk me the way that they talk of Kenny Gwynn. I mean, he was really one of a kind, and just a great person, not just a great politician.
And of course, it's coming down his legacy that everyone's talking about is the Millennium Scholarship. Now, odd coincidence, perhaps, the Interim Finance Committee the day prior met to try and shore up the program, unanimously voted to transfer about $4.2 million from the state's College Savings Plan program to shore up the Millennium Scholarship through this year. Of course, $4.2 million sounds like a drop in the bucket to us, and in better times it would have been, but that money had to come from somewhere.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure where it came from, actually. You know, I do know that it is still being pumped up by, you know, they've asked in lieu of flowers that donations be made in his name to the Millennium Scholarship. The Millennium Scholarship has been an incredible educational tool and for our children, for our college, I mean our seniors out of high school. I know several students that have gone on to college because of the Millennium Scholarship, and I think it's probably one of Kenny Gwynn's greatest legacies.
I did notice the obituary asked in lieu of flowers,
right.
How about a donation to the Millennium Scholarship Fund? Now, maybe that's the answer. You know, in a era where every penny is going to be extremely tight in Carson City, you have, of course, on the one hand, warm feelings for Kenny Gwynn that may spur action. On the other hand, maybe it's time to throw it open to the public and say, in his memory, let's make it a donation situation.
I don't think there's any question that it needs to be retained. And the question is, how are we going to retain it? Are we able to find state funding? If we're not, how are we going to retain it? It's been so important because it has, perhaps on a small level, but it has stopped some of the brain drain that we had here in Nevada. It's important that we keep our really sharp, very top seniors here in Nevada, if we can. Get them at UNR, get them at UNLV, rather than having them leave the state. And I think the Millennium Scholarship has helped do that. So I think it's time to sit down with a group of people to really look at what is the best way to retain the Millennium Scholarship.
Well, especially in this state, we're only graduating half of our seniors, and they have to have something to look forward to.
Uh-huh.
And I know I've heard of several cases where very smart kids have just dropped out of school because they didn't feel they could go on to college because of the financial or their family financial situation. And I really feel that we have to continue on with the Millennium Scholarship, at least give those half of kids that are going on to college, so there's 49 or 51% that are not going to college, at least maybe they will look forward to it and stay in school.
Now, in terms of where that $4.2 million came from at the IFC, it came from the state's college savings plan. That's the plan where individual citizens make deposits while their kids are young.
For future.
For future. I wasn't there, I'll be the first to say. I was not at this hearing, and I don't know, but I wondered to myself, as it says, the prepaid tuition program, the money transfer doesn't affect it. I wondered how that could be true. I looked up the NRS. It's insured. I guess that's why it's not affected. The deposits are insured. Nonetheless, is that a reason to raid that fund? Because you can then go and make an insurance claim.
Well, that seems to be the norm right now. I mean, that's not happening with just this fund. I mean, they're sweeping a lot of other funds and hoping, with the hope that things are going to turn around and they'll be able to replenish those funds at a later date. And it's unfortunately, but those are the circumstances we find ourselves in. And you're going to find more and more of these policy debates, especially at the session this year, where we are going to have to make difficult decisions. And I don't disagree with anything that's been said about the Millennium Scholarship. And I think it would be an absolute tragedy, especially in light of Governor Gwynn's untimely passing, to even talk about dismantling that fund. And it has been so many things to so many people. And just in fact, the anecdotal stories of people that have used that fund to be the first in their family to go to school and now are having tremendous careers and staying here in the state. I mean, that's exactly what the fund was intended to do, was to help citizens find opportunities they might not have otherwise had. And it would be a tragedy to lose it.
Keep them in the state.
We got to wrap it up
really
there.
Important.
Thank you for joining us, Nevada Newsmakers Today. Back in just a moment.
Did you know all your unused SafeLink minutes carry over month to month and similar programs don't?
As a single mom, if my daughter and I have an emergency, how will we call for help?
SafeLink, free government-supported Motorola, LG, or Samsung cell phones with lots of free carryover month-to-month minutes for calling, texting, and even international calls. Plus free directory assistance and 911 location tracking. All this with superior coverage to other programs.
Now I can stay connected in an emergency.
SafeLink, plenty of free minutes that carry over month to month and others don't.
We have a fearful society right now. What they're afraid of is that what we're going to be passing down to our children is not liberty and freedom, but debt and deficit. That's why you and I have an opportunity right now to change the direction of our country. Government is not the solution to the problem. Government is the problem. We, the people, are the solution. I'm Sharon Angle, and I approve this message.
How much lower can we go when Nevada schools rank last in the nation and Brian Sandoval cuts education by hundreds of millions more? What opportunities will we be denied when Sandoval's cuts force layoffs of 1 in 5 teachers? How overcrowded will our classrooms become when Sandoval raids the fund set aside for class size reduction? How can Nevada build a stronger economy if Brian Sandoval gets his way? Just ask yourself.
I think someone at my friend's school has this thing called autism. My friend's brother's son has autism. My neighbor's son has autism. My son has autism.
Autism is getting closer to home. Today, 1 in 110 children is diagnosed with autism. That's a 600% increase in the last 20 years. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org.
Thanks for joining us on Nevada Newsmakers. Tomorrow, Secretary...